At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at bragworthy prices at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Welcome on in, folks, to the first Bullseye Saints Hour of the 2025 season. Steve Geller joining the voice of the Saints, Mike Haas, who's out in California enjoying the weather out there. Mike, how you been doing, man?
I am well. Yes, it is the Bullseye Saints Hour, brought to you by Bullseye, the official tailgate of the New Orleans Saints. And it's unique. It's these afternoon practices, tricky. And then the time differential, even more tricky. So they're practicing right now. It is Groundhog Day number 165 every day. Looks the same, feels the same. So it's a perfect afternoon. They are practicing as we speak over at UC Irvine. And I've been listening into you and Charlie earlier, and we'll hear some official notice from the Saints and Kellen Moore, but you know the news is out from what has been happening from an injury standpoint. Guys that have been put on IR, and we'll talk about it, but just understand that these are from various reports. The Saints have not put it out yet, but Will Clapp, the injury that he suffered against the Chargers, will go on IR, and that's tough, man. Right, he's 29 years old, 8-year vet, brother Martin, LSU, got hurt early. He was playing center in for Eric McCoy, so he went out. That meant Torricelli Simpkins, the third, played a lot longer than he was anticipating, I'm sure. So he goes on IR. When you go on IR at this point of the season, that means you're done for the season. So really, really tough for Will Clapp. And we'll learn more about Trevor Penning's situation and his foot injury. Better news than certainly Will Clapp. Don't know how much time he will miss, but as has been discussed, tough because he needs the reps, right? He's been enjoying his time at left guard in between McCoy and Kelvin Banks, and it's been pretty strong.
And you're just worried too, Mike, because he's had those foot issues in the past.
Right, right. I mean, it was just it was bizarre because sometimes, you know, in the preseason, you don't see the injuries, right? You don't know. And he leaves the field with both shoes off, and then the cart takes him. So you just didn't know. And then the tight end situation, wow, Mason Plein gets signed. Picked up off the waiver wire from San Francisco. So they waive Seth Green. Mason Plein plays one game, gets hurt in the Chargers game. So he is waived injury designation, and the Saints have re-signed Seth Green. And, you know, because of the Taysom Hill situation and the Foster Moreau are both recovering from injuries, opportunity there. So, but that tight end position, you know, has some depth questions. Let's put it that way. And then the others that we do know about, they waived wide receiver Chris Tyree out of Virginia. That was also a waived injury designation. And then they signed a defensive tackle, Jaden Peavy. They had a bunch of tryouts today. You know, when you practice late in the day, you can have the tryouts early, and that's what they did. Tried out Jaden Peavy, also wide receiver Roderick Davis, and again, unofficially signed both of those guys. So it's been a far more busy Tuesday than they were anticipating because, quite frankly, they have not been hit too hard by the injury bug as they did here last year with the soft tissue injuries. They did lose Nick Saldivari, and they've had some injuries, but nothing like last year. So it's been an unusual kind of couple of days after Sunday's loss and then, you know, so busy with tryouts and signings that we'll hear a lot more from Kellen Moore later this afternoon.
Yeah, right. And I was surprised, you know, you mentioned some of the guys that are said to be you know, joining the roster. None of those are an offensive lineman, though. It's a defensive tackle, but not an offensive tackle or guard right now.
Right. They did try out offensive linemen.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, really, you know, centers. And so I think there may be some more signings to come. Just have to wait and see. Those are just the ones that were announced earlier. Had the opportunity before that Jeff went to practice. He's over at UC Irvine right now for their practice. But I sat down with Jeff Nowak, sideline reporter, to kind of get his thoughts as we kind of wrap up things. We'll talk about the Rams a little bit, of course, on Thursday. But wrap up things this week here in California and head back to New Orleans. Here's that interview.
I asked Deuce this, so to be fair, and it's challenging, but what do you think, if you're Kellen Moore, what's your top priority this week?
The rest of the week of practice?
Yeah.
I need to figure out what my offensive line is and how to run the ball. I mean, that was probably my takeaway from that game the most. Like, you know, even on the drives where you had the four offensive line starters, and I thought Torricelli Simpkins played about as well as you could hope for a UDFA who quite literally, you know, just started playing center for you last week. You know, like, you just didn't open enough lanes in the run game. And if you can't run the ball with young quarterbacks, you're just asking for trouble. Now, obviously, didn't have Alvin. Kendre, I felt like when I went back and watched today, you know, there was a couple plays that I felt like there was a lot more to be had, and he slipped. You know, and I actually appreciated that because when I watched it in real time, I was a little concerned he was running without power and like, oh, maybe he lost some weight and it's not working for him. But it was more so like maybe an equipment thing that he needs to figure. Maybe he didn't have the right cleats on. I don't know. But no, they just need to be able to generate more positive plays on the ground. Like, I don't want – like, you know, you look at Shuck and Rattler, right? Shuck was only in there for one more snap than Rattler was, but he threw 11 more passes. Right,
that 2 minute drill coming into that help it skewed a little bit, but it helped. But you're right, this practice with the Rams was not scheduled. When you first heard about it, what was your thought about it?
You know, I'm glad they're doing it. Right, like what I saw on Sunday was a team that needs reps. Like, you need to get these guys reps, whether it's the quarterbacks, whether it's the running backs. And you know, it's kind of strange. You don't usually have joint practices against the team you face in the regular season. It's only one day. It's not three, so you're not going to give away as much. But, no, I mean, I think, again, from a running game perspective, right? Like, I need to figure out how to run the ball. If I'm going to have any type of success this season as an offense, you know, or at least, you know, come in higher than expectations, it's going to be because I can run the ball, I can protect my young quarterbacks, and I can generate scoring drives. Like, that's what last year, you go back to last year, you know, there were nice moments, there were nice plays. You just didn't string enough together, right? Like, and that's when I look at Spencer's day on Sunday, it just felt a lot like that. It was a lot of, you know, stacking one or two first downs and then just not finishing a drive off for points. And that happens because you can't get positive plays on first and second down, right? If you end up in third and long constantly, you're not going to have a ton of success, and you got to run the ball to stay out of those situations. So, I mean, again, it's going to come down to the run game for me. If the Saints can run the ball this year, I think they have a chance to win some games. If they can't run the ball, it's going to be defenses teeing off on young quarterbacks.
And so how do you kind of rectify that with yourself if you're not playing basically your starting line? Alvin's not in. You know, you're not playing the people that might – maybe you would run the ball if you had those guys. How do you kind of differentiate the two?
That's definitely part of it. I just look more at those first two drives more so than, you know, okay, yeah, they couldn't run the ball in the second half behind all the second and third stringers. Like, that's a different story. And I think when you look at a preseason game, you really, in most cases, shouldn't be looking at it and saying, oh, this group is not good enough, this group is not good enough. Because, you know, you add Eric McCoy to that offensive line, it gets a lot better. You add Alvin Kamara, Chris Olave, or Shiji to that offense, it gets a lot better. So you kind of have to look at individuals and see how they're performing. But no, I need to see a group that can generate positive plays on first down. Like, that's the first step. And 'cause when we've seen success from this team, like, it's been, okay, you're not looking at second and 12, second and 15. Like, you're looking at second and 6, right? And that opens up your entire playbook. The QB run game is still in, and you have forced the defense to play honest. And, you know, you saw that game just like I did. Those defensive backs were sitting underneath the whole way, right? And when you have a young quarterback and you're playing it safe with them, that's what they're going to do. Now, you know, I wish the double move to Mason Tipton came a few plays earlier, because I think if you hit them with that first, you know, if Kevin Austin catches that ball and burns them for a long touchdown, I think the defensive backs are like, oh, maybe I should give him an extra step, and then that pick six probably doesn't happen, right? So it's a lot about that. It's a lot about setting yourself up for success and avoiding situations where a young quarterback is always going to struggle.
What position battles kind of intrigue you at this point? I mean, certainly the wide receiver beyond, you know, the three, running back beyond, you know, it feels where there's some solid, significant starters in place. But, man, those after you get through that initial starting group, it feels like there's battles everywhere.
Well, as of you know, Sunday, backup center is suddenly a position battle. You know, Will Clapp, I felt like, had that pretty much nailed down. Now, do you bring in another veteran option? Kyle Hurgle's there. He's been working at center, but you didn't play him on Sunday. Like, there was plenty of opportunity to play him, and you didn't, at least not at center. Same as Shane Lemieux. So, I don't know. Like, I think they're probably going to be looking around finding a veteran option just in case. But I thought Torricelli played well, so I think they're going to give him an opportunity there as well. As far as starters, you know, obviously quarterback. You know, I think that goes without saying.
Have we talked about that this camp? I'm not sure.
Yeah, believe it or not, there's a quarterback competition going on. But then depth running back. You know, I feel like we saw, like, the usage from Kendre on Sunday, I thought, was interesting because I didn't necessarily think that's how it was going to go. Right? Like, in preseason games, you don't want to be the guy that gets 44 snaps on defense and doesn't appear in the stat sheet. Not going to name any names. But, like, you want to get one or two series and then put a baseball cap on and cheer for the rest of the game. Right? Like, yeah. That means that you're secure in your role, or at least you're reasonably secure in your role. Obviously, Alvin wasn't out there. Devin Neal is hurt. But that to me looked like a guy who they feel like is their RB2. So, you know, as long as he maintains that, and then it becomes, okay, are you better off with a Velus Jones and that speed? You know, even that jet sweep, when you go back and watch it, like, I mean, that speed impacts the game. I think if he had to do over again, he would make it a race to the pylon, because Cedric Wilson, I thought, had his block sealed, and, you know, that play can't go for negative 2 yards. Like, I'm okay with it going for no gain. You can't go for negative 2 yards. So, like, are you better off with a speed running back? The Saints haven't had a guy with 4.3 speed at the running back position in a while, maybe since the C.J. Spiller. You know, or do you prefer to have a veteran and a Clyde Edwards-Helaire or a Cam Akers? So that's going to be interesting. And then beyond that, you know, DeMario Davis, Pete Werner are the obvious starters at linebacker. But I think that linebacker room is arguably the strongest position group on this team. And I think you go six deep, and even a guy like Isaiah Stallbird was making plays all over the field yesterday. So who becomes that kind of third and fourth option? Like, if DeMario misses a game, who's your backup Mike linebacker? Is it Danny Stutzman? Is it Jalen Ford, who led the team in tackles on Sunday? If Werner goes out, who's your backup Will? You know, Nephi Sewell is listed on the depth chart as the second string Will linebacker, but he wasn't starting. It was Stutzman and DeMarco Jackson in there.
I get preseason, man. It is situational. I can't remember any preseason season record. It is what it is. Saying that, you watched Sunday and an offense that penalties, 3rd and 19, 3rd and 20. I feel like I've seen that play before. Defensively, you stack them up, and then you get them in 3rd and long, 3rd and 15, 3rd and 20. Quarterback runs for a first down. Quarterback runs for a first down. I feel like I've seen that play before. Now, again, I put very little stock into. There's no game planning, but yet those are the two things that bothered this team last year: lack of running, and you know some of that stuff. But you gotta take care of.
Yeah, and like the quarterback run game, I think the scheme is going to handle it a lot better than it has. And you're going to have a lot of options where, you know, you can adjust what you're doing to match a Kyler Murray in week one. Like, you're going to account for, this is how he likes to extend plays. You're not doing that for Trey Lance. You know, so if Trey Lance wants to, you're working on stuff. You're working on yourself in those preseason games. So if Trey Lance wants to, you know, run around and scramble and do whatever, like, Yeah, you're going to try to stop them, but you're not going to get out of your stuff to account for their offense, right? So I don't read too much into that, because I do think this scheme is going to handle the quarterback run a lot better. Now, you know, there's a reason Lamar Jackson is Lamar Jackson. Like, there's a reason that they do that, because it's really hard to stop, you know? So being better doesn't mean stopping it all the time. It means not getting gashed constantly. So, yeah, it's... It's tough because you look at a game and you want to come away with like these large extrapolations of, oh, we're not good enough at this, we're not good enough at this. He's can't do it.
No. He can't get too wrapped up.
Right. Maybe next week when if they play all the starters and maybe you get a little bit more, you know, fine tuned with some of that stuff. But I also don't think Trevor Lawrence is going to be running around, or I don't even know who the Jaguars' backup quarterback is. You would.
Nick Mullins is one of them.
Easy name. Yeah. Happy for you.
Nick Mullins, yeah. Wolford, his dad, Will Wolford. So I'm getting there. You know, it's early. It's Tuesday. The fact that I threw out three quarterbacks already for Jacksonville, I'm pretty happy. But kind of what happens Thursday with the Rams, you know, with a Thursday practice, joint practice, even though it's one, and you get a game on Sunday, and you fly in on Friday, you wonder kind of the impact it does have on who plays on Sunday with Jacksonville. And we don't know what Kellen Moore's thoughts would be from a head coaching standpoint about playing or not playing in week three with Denver. There's a lot of unknowns here.
Yeah, like I think you kind of just put Alvin Kamara in bubble wrap and say, we've seen enough. Like, I don't think he's going to get out there. Chris Olave, Rashid Shaheed, maybe the same thing. But I do think you want to get like an Eric McCoy out there. Because I get why you don't want to play him completely, but I do want to get reps with my center. If I have a young quarterback, I want him to be comfortable with the center, whoever it ends up being. The difficulty is you can't leave him out there the whole time, so you're not going to get reps with both quarterbacks. I do think you're probably going to give Shuck the first team. And, you know, we haven't talked about Shuck at all. Like, I liked what I saw from Tyler Shuck in that game. And, you know, I kind of need Spencer to come out and look like the starter. Otherwise, the conversation is going to become a lot different. Because, like, you don't, in his position, I don't think you get the luxury of looking okay. Like,
right. Ty doesn't go to Spencer, maybe.
Right. Well, I mean, you gotta come out and look like, oh, there's a reason we're sticking with you. Otherwise, you know, maybe just start the clock on the rookie. But he's going to be the guy playing with the second string. And against the second string defense or whatever passes for a second string defense in a preseason game. So there is a level of that. Like when you're not going against the starters, things get a little bit easier, even though you're not with your own starters.
That was Saints sideline reporter Jeff Nowak talking with the voice of the Saints, Mike Haas there. We're here on the Bullseye Saints Hour, taking a break right now. When we return, we'll get into another interview Haas did with Saints special teams coordinator Phil Galliano. Keep it locked on the Bullseye Saints Hour on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network.
This season, let your shoes do the talking. Designer Shoe Warehouse is packed with fresh styles that speak to your whole vibe without saying a word. From cool sneakers that look good with everything, the easy sandals you'll want to wear on repeat, DSW has you covered. Find a shoe for every you from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, New Balance, and more. Head to your DSW store or visit DSW.com today.
Welcome back into the Bullseye Saints Hour, official tailgate sponsor of the Saints. Here with the voice of the Saints, Mike Haas. I'm Steve Geller. And man, talking about those joint practice sessions, that was a question. I guess things have been wrapped up, Mike, and it looks like the Saints will be having joint workouts with the LA Rams.
Yeah, we thought probably initially when the schedule first came out, well, of course they'll practice with the Chargers
right
beforehand. Didn't happen. But they will play against an LA team. It's going to be the Rams. It kind of reminds you of lacrosse, right? One team can't do it. They're injured. Well, there's another team 5 miles down the road. So Thursday, it was going to be an earlier practice on Thursday. It was not going to be a late practice for the Saints anyway. So they will practice with the Rams from 11 o'clock to 1 o'clock up where the Rams are in Carson, California. Because the Saints will be kind of packing up and leaving the next day, and people I'd seen some social media asking about Matthew Stafford. Matthew Stafford, I do not believe, will take part. He was not scheduled to take part in the joint practice with the Chargers, so I don't think that will happen either. And, you know, from talking to Deuce and Jeff, you know, if you have 2 days of joint practices, it's a different look. It's a different system. It's a different schedule than the 1 day. But still, it's going to be a good amount of work. And you get some of your starters that might get some action with the Rams that maybe you don't play as much against Jacksonville. That's the part we don't know. There's a lot of unknowns going in.
Yeah, for me, I love those joint workout sessions. I feel like you almost get better work than even in the preseason games, just because, too, if there is a mistake made, you can go back and, you know, review with the player immediately.
Right. Well, you were at the joint practices that they had in Costa Mesa with the Chargers a few years ago?
Yes, definitely.
Right. So to me, they had 2 days of practices. That was really kind of our, at least for me, my first time at being in this California situation. And they had 2 days of what I would say were the best, most well-run practices I've seen in the NFL. There were no fights. They just got, it was efficient. It was just, it worked so well. And I was like, man, if you get that kind of work in, you can see the difference in, and that's the problem. And we're going to get to Phil Galliano here in a second, but you can do situational stuff in these joint practices that you don't have to do in a preseason game that kind of makes the game not the game. You wouldn't do that in a regular season game, yet you're going to, you know, go for it on 4th and 2 or do things in the preseason game that you wouldn't do in a regular season game. But in the joint practices, it's fine. So we'll see. I think it's going to be good work. Everybody that I've talked to, Saints-wise, is excited to be able to get that kind of opportunity. So we'll see. And I know one will be special teams coach Phil Galliano, right? I mean, here's a guy that he's looking at everybody. You know, he's not looking at the offensive linemen. He's looking at safeties. He's looking at anybody that can help fill that role from a special teams guy, not to mention the punting battle that is going on between Kai Kroger and James Burnham. So spoke to him a little earlier about what it's like to be running his own show now.
You've been with this team for a while, but this is a new role, and you kind of started that a little bit with Darren taking over the head coaching job. How different has it been, you know, to be the guy? Because that's the goal, right?
It is the goal. I don't know that it's been that much different. I think, you know, that obviously there's a little bit more responsibility and a couple of different things, but we're doing a lot of things the same, and, you know, Kellen's been great, and it's been, you know, kind of the guys that we have here leadership-wise that have done this before, so we're all doing it together. So, yeah, it's a little different, but there's a lot of similarities as well.
Nobody knows the 90 better than Phil Galliano, because some of these cats are going to be on your special teams, and you're looking at every individual differently than an offensive line coach is looking at his 15 guys. You're not doing that.
No, we're not. And, you know, it's a collaborative effort, you know, and we have to be able to find guys that can help us win games. You know, and one of the things we talk about is the total plays played in the game. So when the regular season gets here and you're bringing 48 active guys to the game, your starters are going to play their 60 plays per game, right? And then there's going to be another 25 to 30 on special teams that have to, you know, they have to get played by good players. And so we're trying to identify the guys that will fill a role on special teams and can also go in and fill the role in offense, defense when they need to.
Is it almost because you've been around and you know what you're looking for? You're looking for a mentality. Like, I don't know, maybe if last year at camp you went Rico Payton. And he'll run through a wall. He's going to be a guy. He had a great year. I don't know if you know. You can kind of sense that.
Yeah, you can. I think, you know, the good thing we have here is the standard's the standard, you know, and so we're going on.
JT Gray set the bar pretty high, baby.
There's no doubt, you know, and so we're going on year 7, and we've been very successful on special teams. And, you know, when those guys come in, they know that's what the standard is. And that starts at the top. You know, it starts with our front office identifying players, even, you know, in the draft and in free agency, that everyone we have to have a vision and a role for. And it may not be that they're going to be the starter at X position, but they're going to have a role and go play 4 core special teams for us. And we try to identify that and put them in situations here to compete against one another. And the preseason games are great evaluation because we have to go against someone else that is different, right? It's a different scheme. It's different stuff like that. But, you know, we keep it simple. We want them to go play fast and go have fun while they're doing it, play with passion and go make plays. And they're the guys we're looking for.
3 punters on the roster at one point, now down to 2, but it feels like it's almost about the game evolving. I mean, the Aussie style was popular for a while, and now it's no more inside the 20, it's inside the 10. You've got to be able to flip the field consistently, and then it's about net average, right? I mean, it's those kind of, you know, I mean, there's more.
Listen, ultimately it comes down to your net average, right? And so there's different philosophies on how you get there. You know, and I've said this before, you know, if you hit the ball 70 yards and you give up a 30-yard return, well, then you have a net punt of 40, right? Or if you can go hit the ball at 42 yards with good location and force a fair catch and our net's 42, then it's pretty good there. And, you know, if we could be, you know, net of 43 yards, you're going to be in the top 10 in the NFL, and we could be pretty good with that.
What is the perfect Blake Groupie kickoff? With the new dynamic rules, and we'll get into the 35. But I mean, just I have a vision in my head. What's the perfect kickoff for you?
Well, I think there's two different ones. I think the perfect kickoff is when we're kicking the ball. If we're kicking in the middle of the field, you're trying to put it in between the hashes on the 1 yard line, between the one and the goal line, right? And if you're trying to kick it directionally, then you want the ball outside the numbers on the 1 yard line. And then there's another option that we're working on. You know, you're able to hit a ball that's going to skid on the ground and roll into the end zone and be a touchback, and the ball goes to the 20. So there's a couple perfect ones, depending on schematically what we're trying to do.
You could see the 35 coming last year. Like 2 weeks into the season, you could almost go, oh, we should have done 35. So you knew that was coming, right?
Yeah, we did, yes. And, you know, so it's I think it's good for everybody, special teams-wise. It's going to be more plays. It's going to make the game more exciting for fans. You know, more kicks are going to be returned. And it's an exciting play, and now it's a safe play. So, you know, we're extremely excited about it.
One of the rules changed now, the overtime rule. It's pretty much consistent. But the onside kick, you know, it can happen now. It can happen in the third quarter. It can happen. It's, you know, they basically almost took it out of the game. But now it's something that's back in that you have to work on all the time.
It is. You know, I mean, the reality of it is you're working on the onside kick anyway, because when you need it, you know, you're losing. It's usually the end of the game. You got to recover the ball with a chance to go score again. And now if you're down a couple scores, you just get the opportunity to go do it earlier. And so you're always working on it. You know, there's still no surprise onside kick. And I think people made way too big of a deal of that. I mean, there was only – once they changed the rule to no more running start on kickoff, the surprise on kick was so low recovery rate, because it's just so hard to do.
Let me make sure I have the dynamic rule down in my head for now. If you're kicking the ball, your 10 guys got to be on the 40, 1 foot on the opposing 40, 1 foot has to, their front foot has to be on the 40, both feet cannot leave the ground until the ball hits the field or is touched.
Not totally correct. So,
shocking, but I'll edit that out.
So, but we'll get you right. So, you have to have nine guys in the setup zone.
Right.
And now they changed the rule. Only six of them have to have their front foot, but it's on the 35. The kickoff team's lined up on the 40-yard line.
I said the kickoff team, those 10 guys, right?
Yeah,
then the kicker.
Those 10 guys. And I'm totally wrong. I was thinking you meant
on the receiving team. I feel like it's their biggest thing is not loading up. They want almost like slots. Don't get guys where you can load up.
Yeah, I mean, it's still a matchup business, though, right? I mean, so you're trying – you have the schematic, you have the players that you're trying to get good matchups for. But I think it'll be fun. The rule changes are going to help us and be a little more creative this year.
Well, we'll see you walking around SoFi on Sunday. Enjoy.
I appreciate it. Great talking to you. Thank you.
Great stuff from Saints special teams coordinator Phil Galliano. Let's take a break, pause 10 seconds here on the New Orleans Saints radio network. Let stations identify themselves. The Bullseye Saints Hour continues to roll on. The official tailgate sponsor of the Saints. Taking a break, though, first. We'll be back with even more. Stay tuned right after this on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network.
At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at brag-worthy prices at your DSW store or DSW.com.
What's up, Hoodads? Welcome back into the Bullseye Saints Hour, official tailgate sponsor of the Saints here on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network. Steve Geller, along with the voice of the Saints, Mike Haas. I'm in Louisiana. He's out in California. Looking forward to more Saints action, though, this coming Sunday. Mike, you'll be coming home soon enough for preseason action in the Dome.
Yeah, 4 straight weeks of football at Caesars Superdome. There's a Labor Day in between that, but the two preseason games, you know, with Jacksonville and then Denver, and then you open up the regular season with two at home, with Arizona and San Francisco, and then it's like you pay the price for those four games because your next game is in Seattle, West Coast, and then upstate New York and Buffalo.
Opposite ends of the universe.
Weeks. Yeah, it's like, hey, have you guys enjoyed your own bed? Well, get out of it because you're going to go to the West Coast and upstate New York against two very, very good teams. So, yeah, getting off to a good start, crucial. But, yeah, the Saints will leave Friday. We will leave Friday. And I can tell you, because you mentioned him earlier, the Cajun Cannon has arrived. He is in California, and I know he's happy about the Rams practice so that he can kind of see that on Thursday.
Definitely.
He'll be joining the team, you know, for the rest of this week.
Yeah, and that was one of his disappointments last year because of the injuries with the Niners. Those practices, those joint sessions ended up getting canceled. So Bobby's trip out west got canceled. So he got a little redemption this season.
Exactly, and looking forward to it again because it was not planned, and so it's kind of a little lanyap that we'll have to explain to everybody up in Carson, California. The practices out here have been just so different from the ones in Metairie that have been open to all the fans, right? It's been early morning, hot, humid, fans, great atmosphere, music. Here in Irvine at UCI, that's friends and family only, very, you know, limited amount of fans that can come. They're basically closed.
Exclusive.
Not a ton of media. Yeah, not a ton of media that is here, but there have been some national media here. Recently, I caught up with Mike Sando. He's a senior writer for The Athletic. He wrote for ESPN. He's been to Super Bowls galore, and he also was a beat writer for the Seattle Seahawks back in the day when Mickey Loomis began his career with Seattle. So I spoke with Mike Sando recently. So we're with Mike Sando with The Athletic, who goes, as we were just talking about, way back with Mickey Loomis, back to his Seattle days. It was kind of funny, as we started training camp, and the very first presser, there was a question to Mickey, and he kind of started out like, you've been here a really long time, and he didn't say the year. And it was kind of like, I knew he knew the year, but he didn't want to say it. It's an aberration in the NFL to have a guy that long, you know, be around. And, you know, Mickey knows exactly what the deal is. He knows the record, and nobody wants to work harder at changing it than he does.
Well, they've had a ton of success, too. I mean, I think, you know, stability is such a luxury in the NFL because typically owners get impatient and there's people in the owner's ear and you can't weather even two or three bad years and they change it up. But I think if you think you have the right people, then, you know, you're less likely to make a change. And also, I mean, Mickey is the general manager, but he's not exactly making every football decision, right? I mean, he's not a personnel guy who's... you know, he's empowered the people that he's here, so they're trusting him to have the right people in place. And of course, he helps with the really big decisions. But you know, I think they're hoping they have the right combination of football people in here coaching now, and then they've got to, you know, the roster has to get better too. I mean, I think that's clear, and they've this year I think made a concerted effort in the draft to do that.
It's difficult when you kind of separate yourself and say, well, 17 season, Minneapolis Miracle. 18 season, the no call. 19, you're home, you lose to Minnesota in overtime. It stuns everybody. 20, you win the division, lose to Tampa, who eventually wins the Super Bowl. That's possibly two more Super Bowls. Three total. It changes your feeling and landscape.
Well, not only that, then COVID happened. Yeah. Which, remember, when you're a team like, not every team is as aggressive with the salary cap. You know, there's Philly just won the Super Bowl with, I mean, really at the red line, right? I mean, an injury or two, they're so leveraged. Well, the Saints have played that game too, where they've really pushed, and so you have suddenly the salary cap go down. That was another thing that affected this team. So I think, you know, now clearly, I mean, you have to have a quarterback. You know, and they tried to get one with Derek Carr, and it was okay, but it didn't work out. And so now they've drafted Tyler Shuck, and we'll see what he can do with Kellen Moore, and, you know, who's a promising young coach on the offensive side of the ball, which they haven't had, you know, the last few years. So we'll see.
And just really, from a fan standpoint,
keeping all nine draft picks, right? That's a lot for this team, and since 2015. So it's the first step in what some would say, hey, it's the rebuild. We're no longer pushing chips to the middle.
Yeah, I think we're going to see that the next couple of years. They had six picks in the top 131 this year, which is by far their most, I think, since that 2017 class. And they've always been a team that's been willing to, you know, hey, trade a pick and do this. I don't think they traded up one time in the draft. So those are some
must have killed Mickey.
Yeah, it must have killed him, yeah. Yeah, but I think also, too, in fairness to Mickey, that's what you do when you have a Sean Payton as your coach, too. When you have the empowered head coach. And we saw Sean do that in Denver his first year, too. And I think he's balanced out a little bit. I think George Payton's balanced him out a little bit. So it felt like a little bit more of a balanced out situation. And then with Carr retiring, I mean, that makes it happen, right? I mean, if Carr was coming back healthy and they thought he was looking good in camp, I mean, you know, I think the mindset is different than if we're trying out a rookie who we all know the odds are, what are the odds for rookie making?
Tough. You know? Who knows? Right? I mean, sometimes it works. Sometimes you're Washington,
yeah.
Right? You
yeah.
get Jaden Daniels, but sometimes you don't. Just a couple more, but I wanted to talk, you know, hope. We say hope is not a strategy. Unless you play in the NFC South. Because literally the last 3 years, 22, 23, 24, in December, all four teams, not 500, below 500. You're in this mix.
Yeah. I think that's also what had Mickey and these guys, you know, continuing to push when I think from the outside people say, are you really a championship team? Well, they were a team that can win the division. And I think most people in the league feel like if we can win our division, anything can happen in the playoffs, right? You're only a couple wins away if you get hot. So, it is a division that has dangled a carrot in front of all of these teams that all feel like they have a chance.
And finally, if I read it right, you've covered the last 20 Super Bowls.
Probably more than that. I think my first one was the 98 season, so John Elway's final game.
Okay.
And I think I did all of them since then. However, I don't know however many that is, maybe 25 or so.
Yeah.
I think I missed the COVID one, but that's been a great perk of the job. I love it.
And so I wear two hats, as many do. I am the media relations manager of the Superdome. So when you think back to all those Super Bowls, especially 25 to me, I mean, new building. On Sunday, August 3rd, we celebrated our 50th year, and we just renovated, starting another 25. I mean, you must have just great memories of what's an iconic building.
I do. It's an amazing building. I mean, the fans make a building. I mean, everybody worries about when they change a stadium, like, hey, this team's going indoors, or like Minnesota years ago went indoors. They got a great home field advantage, and I think the Saints just have so many incredible. I mean, you think of the Gleason moment. I mean, that's probably gives me goosebumps just saying it, and I'm not even a Saints fan. So I think, yes, an incredible building. I will say, if you sit up at the top, I would like them to turn down the air conditioning a little bit. You can freeze up there. That'd be my one complaint. Although it felt pretty good. I tell you, this last Super Bowl, it was so hot outside. I found myself walking to the stadium, and I was sweating like I was in a workout. So it felt good then. But a lot of good memories, great building, and you know, hopefully for Saints fans, they get a few more this year.
Well, come see us. We appreciate it.
Absolutely. Thank you.
Thank you, Mike.
That was Mike Sando joining Mike Haas here on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network, the Bullseye Saints Hour. Sando, 28th season covering the NFL, seeing that on his Twitter page. We're going to take a break right now on the Saints Hour here, the Bullseye Saints Hour. Be back with more, so stay tuned after this on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network. Welcome back into the Bullseye Saints Hour, folks. We are talking about Saints training camp out in California. They just wrapped up their session today, Mike, and we're getting a little bit of news coming out of camp. Some roster moves now official. Also, the fact that today we didn't have Trevor Penning practicing, not a big surprise. Dylan Radins getting first team reps at left guard with Penning out. Also, not practicing today, Alante Taylor. So we'll have to find out more about that. Well, looking at more from the Saints, I mentioned those roster moves going on for the black and gold that were now official. Mickey Loomis announced that the club has signed free agent defensive tackle Jaden Peavy, wide receiver Roderick Daniels Jr., and they've also re-signed tight end Seth Green. In other moves, they have now placed guard and center Will Clapp on injured reserve and have waived injured tight end Mason Plyne. So those were the moves for the black and gold today. We had heard about previously, but now official from the club. Looking at the defensive tackle in Jaden Peavy, 6'5", 308, 4-year NFL vet, originally signed as a free agent by the Titans following the 2022 draft. He's out of Texas A&M. He's a Texas native, played in 6 career games with the Titans and the Carolina Panthers, recording 6 tackles, 1.5 sacks, 1 pass breakup, and a forced fumble. He also spent some practice time on the practice squad with the Titans, Panthers, and the Houston Texans. In 5 collegiate seasons, PV played in 58 games, 24 starts, finished with 137 tackles, 49 solo, 7.5 sacks, 20 stops for loss, 1 interception, 8 pass breakups, a forced fumble, 1 fumble recovery, and 4 block kicks. Very interesting there. I'm sure Phil Galliano will love that. Then as a senior in 2021, he started all 11 games he played and was named the Aggies Defensive Mr. Dependable Award. So that was...
Like that, right? Yeah, that sounds good, doesn't it?
The new DT and Jaden Peavy come into the black and gold.
No, very much so. And they had been so fortunate not to have this many roster moves, but you kind of felt it coming with, you know, the cart out as much as it was in that Charger game. And as we go to break, I want to... I mentioned it a little bit with Mike Sando, but I'm going to talk about the NFC South when we come out and kind of come back and kind of close out this show and talk about hope and what this division has been like in the previous years.
Yes, indeed, Mike. Taking a break here on the Bullseye Saints Hour, the official tailgate sponsor of the Saints. Keep it locked right here, folks, on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network. Be right back. Steve Geller with Mike Haas here on the Bullseye Saints Hour, official tailgate sponsor of the Saints. And yeah, Mike, you were talking about the NFC South. Very curious how things shake out this year. The Tampa Bay, we know, has been dominant the last 4 seasons, winning the division. But man, oh man, the Saints, Panthers, and even the Atlanta Falcons are going to be challenging for that in a division that is definitely looked upon as one of the weaker ones in the NFL.
With good reason, right? When the Saints were the division champs, it was domination,
yeah.
Right? So you look at last year, and I'll be quick. So in 2024, only one team had a 2-game lead in the division in all of 24, and that was Atlanta, who did not win the division.
Right.
And in week 13, no team was above 500. Nobody was above 500 in week 13. So that's 2024. Tampa wins the division. Congratulations. In 2023, in week 14. So I do this, you know, after they've all had their bye weeks, because you want to be apples to apples.
Sure.
So in week 14, December, no team is even 500. All 4 teams, week 14 below 500. Tampa wins the division. Great. 2022, final one. Week 16, no team in the NFC South is above 500.
Whew.
So the division, that's not like, you know, you're not even 500, right? So you're in it, right? That's rule number one. You win the division and you play the games, and it could have gone a lot of different ways. So we'll see. But, you know, they've won the division 4 straight years, and yes, the first year with Tom Brady, they were pretty dominating. Won it with an 8-9 record, but hey, it's up for grabs.
Mike, what I don't like seeing right now, some of those, you know, social media reports that practice has ended for the Saints today. Kellen Moore saying that Alante Taylor and Trevor Penning will be out, quote, a while. Alante Taylor is dealing with a groin injury right now. So, man, oh, man, the hits keep coming right now for the Saints as we get towards the end of training camp.
Man, that's just too bad. That is tough. I did not know because UC Irvine. The soft tissue, the groin injury, they've been avoiding them, yeah. Unlike they, you know, last year. And so they're missing some time. Kool-Aid McKinstry, Rico Payton, Isaac Yadam. I mean, a lot of these guys either step up or they're going to, again, look, you know, to sign somebody else if they have to put people, you know, get them through the end of camp and then put them on IR.
Yeah, and we'll get to see, you know, the Saints team back in action again on Sunday. Jacksonville Jaguars coming to town, a noon kickoff in the Caesars Superdome. Is there something that you want to see that from game 1 to game 2 some improvements from, not necessarily, you know, the quarterback battle or anything, but just in general, overall from the team, something you might be looking for in the second matchup?
Yeah, to me, it's got to be cleaner, you know, because if it's not clean, that was the problem. And so your offensively was not clean, so you're facing 3rd and 19 and 3rd and 20. And defensively, you know, again, you're not game planning, but you've got to, you know, be able to not to stay disciplined in your rush lane so that 3rd and 18 for the defense doesn't become a quarterback run on the first down. Those two things, and as Jeff said earlier, running the football. I don't care that Alvin's not in.
Right.
You're going to need a number two. Run that football.
Mike, great stuff. Thanks for joining us here on the Bullseye Saints Hour. Enjoy the rest of Cali. We'll be hearing that call Sunday at noon against the Jags. Appreciate you, man.
Thank you, my friend.
The Bullseye Saints Hour wrap, folks. Official tailgate sponsor of the Saints. Keep it locked right here for more of black and gold action all season long. Right here on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network. We'll be back with even more next week, folks. Have a great one.